No. John and Kim, this is their last Sunday with us. They're moving to Phoenix, Arizona. So we just wanted to honor them this morning, and if our home group could come up and be with them, and anyone else who wants to just gather around them and just lay your hands on them. John and Kim have been ushers here for many years. They've actually been here for approximately 9 years, and John was a head usher, and he was also a trustee, so we're going to miss them very much. So we just want to pray a blessing over them. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for servants, and we just thank you for John and Kim. Father, we just want to bless them as they move to Arizona following Greg and Paula. So we thank you for their service to this church. We thank you for their hearts and their witness. We just pray a blessing over them and their family. We pray that they be prosperous in everything that they do. And Father, we just ask you, that you be with them and guide and direct them.
Thank you, Father, that you brought them here for this season, for this time. And Lord, now we just lift them up to you and ask you, Lord, to protect them, keep them safe. We're excited, Lord, to know that they are going to be with family. And Lord, we really feel your calling upon them to go there, Lord. So I'm thankful for their faithfulness in following after that calling, Lord. So bless them in that, Lord. Thank you so much for this couple and the work that they have done here for us, Lord. And we just thank you for this church and this family here, Lord, that's come around them. We just give you all honor and glory, Lord. You are an amazing God, and we love you. Amen.
Amen. When we have people leaving this church, that would be the best way everyone could be sent out, just with blessing. Let us pray. Lord, that kind of connection we are blessed by, both in seeing it as well as those that are sent out. I thank you that John and Kim had that kind of connection with their group here as well as the church and their giving. Thank you for their giving. There are so many ways, God, that you want us to understand that connection together. And I know that prayer is a big part of that, that public prayer for one another, with one another. When we pray with even one other, you are there in our midst. And I do pray for your continued growth in that for us, that there will be a connection one to another, that some of the burdens that others are carrying we may not fully comprehend because we haven't experienced those kind of things, but your Holy Spirit can really give our eyes vision and understanding, our hearts compassion, feeling, and understanding how that person may feel, have an empathy for them. I pray that you will just increase that among us, that as we pray for one another, your Holy Spirit will just give us a spirit of prayer to labor with others. I even thank you personally for that in our own family. Thank you for your answers, your blessing. And I especially am blessed in this church to see just the young and the old, how we have such a great range here, that we should celebrate that we do have a wonderful range of people. And I want you to continue blessing our awareness of that and our function in that whole light, that God, you would just help us to relate to one another. I just know that some of us have more time maybe to pray, just space in the day to do that, simply because of our age, because of the place that we're at. And that we have grown to understand the need to pray. So I pray that you will just bless that strength of our body as we each have different functions, that we are different seasons in our lives that we can share with one another. I do pray too for the ministry of prayer in the corner, just for after the service, that you would just continue to strengthen hearts of faith that would come forward, that would believe and understand that function of that kind of prayer in the corner, that it's not just off in a corner, but is with somebody. It is with strong brothers and sisters who want to lend a hand in prayer. So help us to be aware of the fact that sometimes we need to go to another person to meet with others to pray, just for specific reasons and needs. Thank you for that opportunity that we have after our services. And Lord, we ask your blessing on Jan's message. Thank you for his growth and his blessing in other experiences of body life that you use here and that you are going to increase here. You have blessed Jan with a word and with a life. So give him the anointing of your spirit, the mind of your spirit, of Christ, and bless his words to our hearts as we mix it with faith in your name. Amen.
Good morning. It's so nice outside today. I was tempted just to move us all outside and sit on the curb, but we may not fit, so we'll have to stay here, and you can all dream of having an outdoor picnic later. I guess I need to start by dismissing the kids, so you guys are, like, ready to go. So you guys can head downstairs. While they're leaving, a couple things for the adults. You're going to be in the book of Habakkuk this morning, which most of us... I did turn it on. Someone turned it off. It's on, but there's no...
I didn't touch it. Can I talk? Oh, no. How about now? Can you hear me now? That's better. Okay. Let me sneak this back in here. All right. Can we hear me now? Now we're rolling. Okay. It's a fun morning with these monitors up here and everything. As I was saying, we're going to be in the book of Habakkuk this morning, which many of us probably have no clue where it is because it's what we would call a minor prophet. So it's towards the end of your Old Testament. So here's what you can do, though. If you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 1456. If you're sitting here with your spouse this morning, quickly hand them your Bible and say, find that for me while I fill out the blue register book. All right. So you can fill out the blue register book while you get someone else to find the book of Habakkuk for you. Or you can grab that table of contents in the front of your Bible and thank God that he put that there for us as well. The book of Habakkuk is only about 3 chapters long, so you're probably going to miss it. It might take you a couple minutes to find it, but I'll talk for a while before we get there. So this morning, I want to ask this question. Have you ever had to make a complaint? You know, the title this morning is, May I Speak to the Manager, Please? Have you ever had to ask for the manager to come over at a restaurant or at a place where you're getting some kind of service done because things just aren't going well? You know, you paid for something and it's just not meeting your standards. I think we've all had to do it at some point. And typically as Christians, we don't want to complain. We don't like to complain because we want to have this face of everything's good and we're just going to kind of bear with the trials. But there are times when we have to complain. You know, one example that comes to mind was probably about 2 years ago now, year and a half. Allison was driving downtown Columbia in South Carolina, and an undergrad hit her car. I mean, I don't know what this guy was saying. He hit her on the left side as she was turning left. It just made no sense, but he just slammed into her front tire. And so thankfully we had insurance, we got towed, they fixed the car. And over the next year, we kept noticing that her car was just not working right. And so finally we went in to get some other repair work done to it, and they said, were you in an accident? I said, a year ago. And they said, well, your front tire is bent in. I said, well, they fixed that. And I said, no, they didn't fix that. And so for the next 2 months, I had to make many complaints because the repair shop said, oh, we fixed it. The insurance said, we're not going to cover it again. And I'm going, I can't afford to spend thousands of dollars to get something fixed that you already had fixed. And so
For months, I had to be on the phone complaining and issuing concerns. And it wasn't really fun, but I had to do it to get the work done like it should have been done. There are other times that I want to complain just because I don't like the way something's being done. For example, and this is going to make me sound strange, but I cannot stand the grocery stores in Pennsylvania. I don't know what it is, but we had this grocery store chain in South Carolina called Publix, and they're only down south. And when we first started going there, we were like, this store is very strange. The layout is different. They actually bag your groceries and push your cart to your car for you. But now I'm spoiled. And so I go to the grocery store. We went last night because we have nothing better to do on a Saturday night. And I can't find anything. Because for whatever reason, they think that they should put some of the deli meats here, but some of the deli meats in that aisle, and then some more deli meats in that aisle. So when you're looking for deli meats, you just have to circle the store 10 times to find the one you want. I really want to call and complain. I know it won't do anything, but I really just want to complain. I think there's something that we all struggle with. Right? There are always things that we want to express ourselves about. I have a short video this morning of a gentleman expressing his concerns over his issues, and it's kind of fun. So we'll just watch this for a second.
I bought something from you last week, and I'm very disappointed.
Oh, yeah? What's the problem?
Yeah, well, my BlackBerry is not working. What's the matter? Run out of juice? No, it's completely frozen.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. I'll tell you what, let's try it on orange.
That's got a few black spots, you see.
Oh, dear, yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. What the hell are you doing to get my BlackBerry working?
Well, it could be an application issue. But where do you store that BlackBerry?
Well, it's on my desktop.
Well, you could try using a mouse to drag the BlackBerry to the trash. Then after you've done that, you might want to launch the BlackBerry from the desktop.
Well, I've already tried that a few times. I mean, all it did was mess up Windows.
Well, it might be worth waiting a couple of weeks. They got the latest BlackBerries coming in then.
Well, could you give me a date?
Certainly.
Let me put that date in my diary.
Anything else I can help you with?
Yes, I've also got a problem, to be honest, with my Apple.
Oh dear, that is an old Apple, isn't it?
Yeah.
When did you buy that?
Last week.
Last week? Oh, they brought out two new Apples since then. Tell you what, let me try booting it. No, it's crashed. Anything else I can help you with?
Well, funnily enough, yes. My grandson's birthday soon, you see. Now, he's already got an Apple and a BlackBerry. I mean, have you got anything else that you might just like?
Well, we're doing a special offer on these. I mean, I can't make head or tail of them, but the kids seem to like them.
Okay.
Xbox. 360.
I actually had to spend some time at the Apple store this week, and all I could think of was this video rolling through my head, but I didn't think they'd appreciate it if I asked those questions. So the truth of the matter is we all complain. We all have concerns that need to be expressed. In fact, we find this in Scripture. If you open your Bible, especially to the book of Psalms, a lot of the writers of Psalm, David and the other guys, they express themselves, but it's not always a joyful proclamation. Many of the Psalms say, God, this is how I feel. I feel awful. Things are terrible. God, you have to fix this. Scripture is full of complaints, of concerns, of deep, raw emotions. And there are things that bother us. We all have concerns in life. We all have things that aren't going the way we would like. And the problem is, a lot of times we feel like we have to keep them trapped inside, that we can't express them. And that's not healthy. It's not good for us to let things build up inside. It's better that we can express how we really feel to the God who controls all things. And so this morning I want to talk about what does it look like to just tell God how you're feeling, to tell God what's inside. And that's where we find ourselves today as we look at the book of Habakkuk. Because this is exactly what Habakkuk does. He has some raw emotions he needs to express. Now, just to kind of give you a backdrop of where this falls into the history of Israel and what's going on, the Israelites are in a constant state of spiritual decline. Things are getting worse and worse and worse. A few weeks ago, we talked about Joshua as he began to take the Israelites into the Promised Land. And so they go in and they conquer the Promised Land, and after Joshua passes away, they start to have people appointed called judges who kind of help fix things, because the Israelites constantly are wandering away. And so the judges would rise up, they would lead the Israelites into a spiritual battle and a physical battle, and they would get them back with God. And then things would get worse, and they'd come back, and they'd get worse. And it was this really big cycle they were on. And eventually they decided to get kings, because they were more constant, and that would be better. And the kings just led them more astray. And so the Israelites kind of have this thing where they would take one step closer to God, and then like 16 steps backwards. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And so when we get to Habakkuk's day, he looks at the Israelites and he sees the people turning away from God. He sees the people ignoring God and worshiping idols with no consequences. And this bothers him. Now, the other thing we have to keep in mind is at this point, the Israelites have actually been split into two groups. You have what we still call Israel, which was 10 of the tribes, and then you have Judah and Benjamin, the other group. And so the larger group, the Israelites, they've actually already been punished. God sent in a group of people called the Assyrians to come in and capture and take over the land. And so Habakkuk's looking at the smaller group and going, they're not following God. They're worshiping everything under the sun but God. God, what are you going to do? And so this is his complaint. This is his concern. And so Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he brings his complaint to God. He says, how long, Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. And so he comes to God, and he goes on for several more verses, but he comes to God with this very valid concern. He says, God, as I look out into my nation, as I look out into the chosen people, I see them turning their backs on you, and you are doing nothing. He's saying, God, I want you to do something. Look at what's happening here. This isn't right, and it bothers me. And he says, God, you're sitting idly by. He says, God, you're doing nothing about it. And so that's Habakkuk's first complaint. He looks at God and he says, why don't you fix this? There is a serious problem here, God. It is really bothering me, and so I'm going to tell you how I feel. I don't like it. God, why don't you fix this? And so the first thing I want to address this morning is it okay to complain to God? I'll be honest, I complain to my spouse a lot. Allison gets to hear me express myself, and she bears with me, and some days she tells me I need to stop. But is it okay to complain to God? See, I think for a lot of us, we assume that when we come to God in prayer, it's always this very polite, respectful, God, you're so great. Thank you, God, for all the blessings in my life. And and those are accurate statements, but is that all that we can say to God? Is it okay to tell God how I really feel? If I'm angry, if I'm struggling, if everything around me is falling apart, do I really have to come to God and say, God, thank you for blessing me today? And there are blessings in the midst of it, but we need to be able to be honest to God, with God. And Habakkuk is being honest with God. And I said earlier, the Psalms did the same thing. It's okay to tell God how you're feeling. God's not offended by our complaints. Here's the reality is, if I'm feeling that way and I don't share that with God in prayer, does he know I feel that way? God knows what's in my heart. And so if I come to God and I just pretend like everything's okay and I say, thank you, God, oh, things are wonderful, but in my heart I'm struggling with things, God's probably more upset that I'm lying to him than he would be if I told him how I really felt. And so Habakkuk comes to God and he says, God, this is how I feel. Have you seen what's happening? And you are doing nothing. And so there's an expectation from Habakkuk that God is going to do something now, and he's going to do it swiftly. And so as Habakkuk says how he really is feeling, God responds. And if you look at the next section, it says that God struck him down with lightning for complaining, And that's the end of the book. We can all go home now. Of course, that's not what it says. God responds to Habakkuk's complaint. And this is verse 5 and 6. God says, "Look at the nations and watch, and you will be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if I were to tell you. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own." So God answers Habakkuk, and he says, "You're not going to believe me. I'm telling you, but you're still not going to believe me. I am raising up the Babylonians." And like I said earlier, the Assyrians were a group of people that came and conquered the larger part of Israel. And so now we're seeing, as you look at history, they're starting to get weak. And there's a new group of people called the Babylonians who are rising up, and they're going to be even worse. And God says, "I'm going to have them come in, and they're going to inflict my punishment. They're going to come in and capture the land." And notice, God is the one raising them up. God doesn't say, "Well, as I looked at, I saw these people called the Babylonians, and they're getting stronger, so I'm just going to sit back and wait to see what happens." He said, "No, I am raising up the Babylonians. There is nothing outside of God's control." He says, "I know what I'm doing. I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to let them inflict my punishment. And it's going to be okay." So Habakkuk complains, "Why don't you fix this?" To which God responds, "I am going to fix it with a great evil." Do you ever want to know the answer to something? Know how something works? And then when you get the answer, you wish you never knew? I suspect that's how Habakkuk felt. He says, "God, why don't you fix this problem?" And then God says, "Yeah, I'm going to fix it with the Babylonians." And you just kind of get the sense of Habakkuk going, "I regret I ever asked." And so he comes to God with another complaint. And you can kind of guess what it is, because clearly he doesn't like the answer. So Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And he starts off by buttering God up a little bit. It's always fun to watch him try to compensate for the complaint. "Lord," he says, "are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves?" You notice how his tune has changed? He says, "Wait a minute, wait, God. Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe we don't need punished. Maybe you should focus on them. You're going to let the wicked swallow up the righteous?" Now, he just told God that the Israelites weren't righteous, and now he says, "Oh, no, they're okay. It's okay." And he starts to explain to God over the next several verses why the Babylonians are so bad, like God doesn't already know that. Basically, he looks at God and he says, "You know, yeah, we need to be judged and we need to have some consequences, but they're worse than us. You should start with them." And so that's his second complaint. "God, why don't you fix them?" He wants to very quickly shift the focus. He wanted the consequences and he wanted the punishment from God on the Israelites, and now he doesn't. And I think that's similar to something we all kind of face. I think about, I don't know how many of you up here have HOA, homeowner associations, on your homes. In South Carolina, it seems that you can't live anywhere without having one. And so, you know, you look around your neighborhood and you see that neighbor that has the grass that just never gets cut. And so you go, I'm paying all my HOA fees. Why don't they just do something? Why don't they tell that neighbor he needs to mow his grass? And then the next week when you get the letter saying you need to mow your grass or you need to move the broken down pickup truck that's in your driveway, you go, my goodness, why are they focusing on me? Look at all these other things that need fixed. Because we always kind of want to push the focus off of ourselves. And so Habakkuk's kind of stuck in this thing where he wants God to look at the Israelites and fix the problem, but at the same time, he doesn't want God to look at them. It's kind of this comparison game that we all play. And I think we all do this to some level. We're always comparing ourselves to someone or something else. We kind of have these levels in our mind. I'm not as bad as fill in the blank. You know, Habakkuk says, look, the Israelites, we're not as bad as the Babylonians. So if the Babylonians are here and we're down here, then God, you should focus on the higher priority. And that's what we do. Think about it when it comes to weight loss. I probably should try to go on a diet, but at least I don't weigh as much as, for me, that's my twin brother. He and I are always competing. As long as he weighs more than me, I'm okay. So I send him donuts every couple weeks, and I'm okay. I don't need to diet. Or it's, you know, I really should work on some spiritual disciplines. I really should pray more. But you know what? I pray more than that person does, so I'm okay. Or I should really give more of my time to my church. But you know what? At least I'm giving more time than that person, so I'm probably okay. And so this is the same thing Habakkuk's doing. He's saying, okay, I thought we were bad, but they're worse. It's all right. And we have this comparison. The reality is there's only one person I should be comparing myself to, and that's Jesus. Because no matter where I think I fall on a scale, Jesus is always going to be better than me. And that's our goal as Christians, to become more and more like Christ. And so it's not saying, okay, I need to read my Bible more, but at least I'm better than so-and-so. No. I need to spend more time with Christ as I read through his word, because I need to spend more time with Christ. And it's this idea that we can't compare ourselves to others. We need to only look at Jesus. Because when we look at anything else, we can always think we're better. But when we look at Christ, we will always fall short and therefore always need to work harder at living the way he wants. And so this is Habakkuk. He's trying to shift the focus off. He says, really, God, you're going to raise up an evil group to punish the... good's probably too strong of a word. You're going to raise up the evil group to punish the less evil group? And so he finishes this section, his second complaint, with a statement of God, I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to watch. I'm just going to watch what you're going to do, God, because I'm not really sure what's going on. And God doesn't ignore him. God does not ignore our complaints or our concerns, but instead he responds to them. See, I said earlier, we can come to God with how we're really feeling. I can tell God, this is what's going on inside of me, and God's going to respond. I can trust that God will answer me. It's just challenging sometimes because God's answers don't always come the way we want. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will whisper in our minds and our hearts and lead us to an answer. Sometimes as we read through Scripture, God will speak from a passage, and it will bring us insight into what we're struggling with. Sometimes God will send other people into our lives and say, God just impressed on me to share this with you. And sometimes God is silent. Sometimes I can say, God, this is what I'm struggling with, and God goes, and we just have to wait. He's answering us, it's just not the way we want. I find a lot of times that God answers in hindsight. As you look back and see what has happened and where God has brought you, go, now I understand. Now I can kind of piece together why these things had to happen. But thankfully for Habakkuk, God responds right away. Habakkuk 2, verses 2 through 4. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. In essence, God says to Habakkuk, wait. Just wait for it. Write it down to see that I know what I'm doing, but write it down. All things are going to come together in my perfect timing, God says. I will not let the unrighteous go unpunished. Just wait for it. And then over the next 14 verses, God spells out five very specific woes, five very specific condemnations for Babylon for their crimes. And it's very clear that their time will come. They will get their punishment, just not right now. So God answers Habakkuk's second complaint and says, I am going to fix it later. And in fact, if we were to spend some time in the book of Daniel this morning, we see all of this spelled out. Because in Daniel chapter 1, the Babylonians come in and they conquer Judah. And they take Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and they take all of those guys to Babylon. It's exactly what God said would happen. The Babylonians would be raised up. But then in Daniel chapter 5 is the story of King Belshazzar of Babylon. It's a story with a handwriting on the wall. And God ends the Babylonian kingdom. And he brings in judgment and punishment on them. And so we see that God knew what he was talking about. He knew exactly what he was going to do on both ends of the punishment, of the consequences. The challenge is we don't always understand the way God does things. Even if he explains it to us, we don't fully understand why he would do that or why he does things the way he does them. But we have to place our faith in him. We have to trust in his control. I heard this week a definition of faith. Faith, according to one pastor I was listening to, faith is trusting in what God has said he'll do and holding tight even when things don't look good. When I know God says this is what will happen and I don't see it happening, faith is just holding on to God tighter. Knowing that God will work it out, it just sometimes takes time. Because God is truly in control of all things, and I can rest in that. I can be assured of God's strength and of God's faithfulness. This week, Allison and I have had several conversations about this kind of concept, because this week was 1 month since we moved here. And as we were talking about it, we said, you know, and I've said this before, we know for certain this is where God has called us to be. God has affirmed that decision over and over and over again in our process of moving. And yet it's been a whole month, and as we look at where we're at, there are some challenges for us. You know, for one thing, our house in South Carolina has not sold yet. That's like the one tether still down in South Carolina. And we just can't figure out why it doesn't sell. It's a great house, a great location. And so that confuses us and it challenges us. And we're looking at, do we have to lower the price to the point that we start losing money? And what do we do? On the other side of things, Allison's been struggling with her job. And we said, well, this is what we thought we were supposed to do. But it just doesn't feel right. It's not perfect. Apparently, we believe that when we're in God's will, everything will be perfect. And I don't think Scripture teaches us that. So what do we do with these concerns? And what do we do with our complaints? Well, I can bring them to God. And say, God, I know this is what you've said. I know that you have called us here. But here are some issues I'm having with that. Here are some unknowns I just can't figure out. And I can bring them to God. And so we get to Habakkuk chapter 3 as he's done this process and we see a changed man. Because as he's brought all of his complaints to God, we see him shift to praising God. He's praising God for God's power and for God's plan. A couple verses from chapter 3, verse 2, Habakkuk says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Verse 16. I have heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. To kind of summarize what he's saying, look, God, I have heard what you have said. I've heard your plan and it freaks me out. My heart is pounding. I'm quivering. There's decay in my bones, this idea that I just don't feel good about it. Yet I will wait on what you say. I will trust in your plan. And then verse 17 through 19 of chapter 3, he ends with a song of sorts. It's a depressing song, but he says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Summary, everything is terrible. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to tread on the heights. He summarizes all of his complaints and all of God's answers by saying, God, things are going to get bad. You've just told me. The Babylonians are going to come in. They're going to take away everything we have. And even as things get bad, God, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to follow you. Habakkuk's response to everything is, God, I will wait on you in praise. I will praise you through the storm I will praise you through my confusion. I will praise you through my lack of understanding. I'll just praise you, God. And so I ask the question, where are we this morning? The world we live in is full of unknowns, chaos, and violence. You can't turn on the evening news without just feeling more depressed. I can't scroll through a Facebook feed without seeing just more and more negatives. And so what do I do with my concerns? What do I do with how I'm feeling? In short, I complain. Or maybe more appropriately, I bring my concerns, my worries, and my emotions to God, and I lay them at his feet. And that's not to say that maybe you don't feel concerned. Maybe you're full of praise right now. Maybe God has been blessing you so abundantly, and you're going, okay, what do I do with that? You bring that to God's feet. I think if you've heard nothing else this morning, what I'm trying to communicate is be honest with God. If God has blessed you abundantly, then praise him for that. If God has brought you into a season where things just don't seem to be making sense or you just don't know how to piece the puzzle together, tell God that. If you're angry and struggling, share that with God. God wants us to express ourselves honestly. He's big enough and strong enough. He can take it. Habakkuk came to the realization that he could not fully understand God's plan, but he could place his trust in a God who loves him and faithfully had fulfilled his promises over the generations past. Can we look at God? Can we look at his work in our lives over the last 10, 20, 30 years and say, God has always come through for me, and even though I don't understand this right now, I know God will come through. And so this morning as we close, are you willing to share your hearts with God? To share what you're really feeling, your emotions and your trials and your joys and your blessings? Are you willing to lay it all down at God's feet and trust that he's big enough to deal with it? No matter how raw or powerful it might be, God can handle it. We don't always understand why or how things happen, but God does. And so this morning we can bring those to God. Would you pray with me this morning? God, at least for me, I always want to know why things happen. I want to know where things are going. I love to know the details of things. But in the world that we live in, it's not easy to know those things. And sometimes you don't tell us. Sometimes, God, we're scared. We just don't know what's happening. But Lord, we know that you are sovereign. You are in complete control of all things. And so, God, we can come to you with our concerns and our complaints and our worries and our fears and lay them at your feet. And you're not going to turn your back on us as we're honest with you. Instead, you're going to embrace us and bring us into comfort and peace. And so this morning, Lord, we empty our hearts to you, the good, the bad, the ugly, knowing that you love us enough to pick us up and carry us through it. Lord, we know that you are faithful. And because of your faithfulness, we worship you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. We sing, great is thy faithfulness. and great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Summer and winter, we sing. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in a manifold. Faithfulness we see, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Lord, unto me, O great
is thy faithfulness.
We see,
great is thy faithfulness.
O morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And we're going to sing this out to him. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are faithful, so faithful to me. Oh, Lord, Lord, you are faithful, so faithful to me. Yes, you are,
Lord, you are faithful,
so faithful to me. So faithful to me.
That is our song this morning. God, you are faithful. In the midst of everything else we're facing, everything we're struggling with, God, you are faithful. And so as we go into this week, just be reminded that God is with you. God will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He is faithful. As we close our service today, if you just need to share something with God, if there's something that's bothering you or just that's on your heart and weighing you down, I invite you to come to the front corner this morning and just pray and tell God how you're feeling. As we go into this week, God is faithful. Cling to that promise that he will never leave us. He's always listening and always with us. Be blessed this week.